I think about this couple weeks ago when I had the privilege to go back down to Louisiana to teach the Word of God. And I think about Johnny Brumfield, this wonderful man. He was a member of a Baptist church. I don't know what the Lord's doing in the Baptist, you know, but he's doing some things to the Baptist. But anyway, praise God. That's what I say. Praise the Lord. But Johnny was a Baptist, and he was a great man of God. You know, he's not been taught the power of the Word of God, but he knows his God's a miracle worker. And so anyway, Johnny came to the teaching, and he was there on Wednesday when I got there, and I taught the Word of God an hour and a half for 2 hours, and then I invited people up for prayer, and there was two or three different people I'd prayed for, and then I saw Johnny sitting over here to the right with a big old brace on his leg, something underneath his pants, had a big old pair of loose pants on. And I walked over, and I said, "Sir, what's wrong with you?" He said, "A tractor ran over my knee." He said, "It'd be 2 years ago this June." And he said, "The doctor told me that I would never walk again." But he said, "I don't believe that. Well, the God I serve, I'm going to walk again." I said, "Well, you're saying the right thing. He's got the right attitude." And so I knelt down there on the floor, and I quoted the Word of God, a scripture, a couple of them. And then I asked the Father in the name of Jesus, on behalf of His Word, to completely restore Johnny Brumfield's leg, his knee, and make it completely whole. And I thanked the Lord for doing it. And I said, "Now, Johnny, do you believe God?" He said, "I sure do." I said, "Good, get up. First of all," I said, "take that thing off your leg." And so this is what puts us to the test. I said, "Pull your britches leg up, take that brace, all that junk you got off your leg," because when I put my hands on it, I felt all that junk under your britches. I said, "Take all that stuff off, throw it away, and stand up and let's walk." So he pulled his britches up, he unstrapped all that stuff, took it off, throw it away, and I said, "Stand up." He stood up. We started walking. The time he got to the third step, he was doing real good, so I turned him loose and I said, "You got it." He walked around the podium 3 times, and then he broke and ran to the back of the church and ran back to the front. What an awesome God we serve. And, of course, the healing was not complete right there. That was on Wednesday night. But he was at every service, I thought, morning and night. And Saturday when he came in, he said, "Brother Thurman, I got to tell you, this morning when I woke up," he said, "before my toes wouldn't work. But," he said, "when I woke up this morning, I looked down at my bare feet and I bent my toes over," and said, "all of them bent down together." He said, I am completely, totally healed." Well, his wife called me this week. She said, "Thurman, I got to tell you," said, "last Sunday I woke up," and she said, "Johnny has been so awesome. And he goes and does anything he wants to do." She said, "I woke up Sunday morning, I had headache pain, I had back pains, I had foot pain." She said, "I had pains all over." She said, "I told Johnny," I said, "oh man," she said, "I don't know what's wrong with me," but she said, "I just can't go to church today. I feel so bad." And then she said, "Wait a minute, that's what that preacher said the devil does to us." Now this is a Baptist woman. She said, "I began to get some of those scriptures out that you'd quoted, and I told the devil where he could go. And said, you can go and you can leave my life. I'm the daughter of the king." And said, "I'm going to church this morning. You ain't keeping me from it." And she said, "I got up and got my face fixed and everything." She said, "all the pain left me. And I went to church and had a beautiful day." And she said, "that day I sing in the choir like I have never sang unto the Lord before in my life." I said, "when them Baptists begin to get a hold of it, Dick." I mean, it's awesome when us Baptists get a hold of the Word of God. But it's not just us Baptists. It's a church. It's a church of the living God. So anyway, whenever that lady, there was a lady there that saw Johnny run and everything, and so her husband owned the bank in Manny, Louisiana, and she went home and told him, said, "Honey, I saw a man miraculously healed at church last night." "Yeah, sure you did." "No, no, no, I saw a man that had a messed up leg run down the aisle after a preacher prayed for him." He said, "some guy, some plant, you know, I mean, you know. You know, they just do this kind of stuff. Wonder how much he paid." He said, "no, this guy was Johnny Brumfield." He said, "Johnny Brumfield." He said, "I've known that guy. 2 years ago, he said, a tractor run over his leg. I know him. Johnny Brumfield run down?" She said, "yes." He said, "I'll go in the morning and I'll give that guy 30 minutes. So he come and listened to me teach that morning for 30 minutes, and then he left. And of course, when he left, after I got through my teaching, the pastor, I didn't know who he was or nothing. The pastor said, "boy, were you dropping nuclear bombs all around him. You were hitting him everywhere." I said, "I didn't even know the guy. The Lord knew what he was doing, and I just praise him for the privilege to teach his word." But he got to see Johnny healed. He's without excuse now. And then, of course, his wife, the things that happened there. So one of the ladies that was there, she saw what happened, so she came to me after the service and said, "sir, a lady, a friend of mine in California by the name of Paula Jarvis, said, 'Paula, has had a, she said, she loves to ride horses, and a horse reared up and fell, and she fell off, and the horse fell over on her. Now, see, this is all demonic inspired. I don't care what people say. There was a demon run up in front of that horse and caused him to rear up, and the horse fell backwards on her and mashed her, and now then she's in tremendous problems. She's got a numbness all through her body and her back. She can't hardly walk or nothing. She said, would you call her and pray for her? I told her, I said, ma'am, my cell phone don't work down here. I'll have to find the phone. She said, here, take my cell phone. She said, it works. And she gave me the number. She said, just go to your room and call her. So I had a little time that afternoon, of course. I went to the room, and I called this lady, and I talked to her about a half hour, making sure her sins were confessed, and she was a believer, and all those things. And then I took her to the Word, and I showed her just three or four mighty promises of God's Word. I said, which one of those would you like to stand on, you know, to get God to restore you? And she said, you mean it's that simple? I said, yes, ma'am, it's that simple. God said, do it. So I believe him. So I said, I guarantee you, if you will agree with me in prayer on any one of these three or four different scriptures I've given you, all of them's a guarantee or a blank check from God. I said, I guarantee if you've got all your sins confessed and you're walking holy before God, he will heal your back. And she said, well, okay. And so she picked out one. We prayed over it, and I thanked the Lord for it, and I said, it's done. The Lord, over the next 24 hours, completely healed that woman. And then, of course, she called her friend Beth that contacted me, and Beth called me and said, Thurman, she's already completely healed. I said, well, Beth, what did you expect? We need to get to where we think like God, don't we? And if you get to where you think like God, God does those awesome things, and he shows up for you. And, of course, then she called me back yesterday morning, Paula, and said, Thurman, I've got a friend that has a friend in Washington State or wherever it is, and her name is Christy, and she's got cancer. Would you call her? I said, of course I will. So it seems like that when you get one healed, you know, then they got a friend or a friend or a friend of a friend, and first thing you know, your telephone and your emails are running off the hook. Because when you pray for people and God shows up, hey, everybody wants to get healed. Well, let me tell you, all you got to do, in fact, there's a precious daughter of the king here gave me a scripture before I go into this other stuff. I'm going to read this new scripture. This is my newest scripture. My newest one. I can assure you, she found this, Proverbs 19:23. I want you to get a hold of this. She came to me this morning ago and she said, Thurman, you'll love this scripture. She said, Proverbs 19:23. I said, well, don't have that committed to memory. But I will have, I can assure you, after today. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendereth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Don't you love that? You don't have to have visitation from the devil, but it requires walking holy before God. So if you'll walk holy before God, don't you love that one, Dan? That's a good one, huh? I love it. He shall not be visited with evil. Who is the devil? He's evil. You don't want him at your house, do you, Dick? No. So that means if we walk holy before God, we don't have to put up with the devil. If the devil does come by your house at all for any reason, if you're walking holy before him, all you got to do is tell him where to go. In the name of Jesus, you have power over him and he cannot touch you. Wow. But I want to just cross the page to verse 9. How many people do you know that have been a false witness or lied? Verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall perish. After today, are you going to tell any more lies? I mean, you can, can't you? But the consequence is pretty severe, isn't it? Do you think this book really means what it says? If this book really means what it says, then there's some of us going to have to learn how to heal our tongue. You know what I mean? Some of us are going to have to learn how to heal our tongue. A false witness shall not be unpunished. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And he that speaketh lies shall perish. You want to die early? I don't. Do you, Gloria? No, so what do you got to do? What do we got to do, girl? We're going to have to walk in truth and heal our tongue, right? Praise the Lord. Yes, absolutely. Those are some awesome scriptures. One more time, I want to tell you that also next Tuesday night, for those of you that don't know, some of you do know, every Tuesday night, right here, we have Bible study at 7 p.m. We're teaching. Last week, I was going to teach on angels here, but the Holy Ghost had a different deal. And so I spoke on something else. Praise the Lord. So there's two seats right over here, Dave, right there. Right there's two, I think, right there, if y'all want to go right there. I think there's two right there. I don't know if anybody's sitting there, but that's close. And so we have a Tuesday night Bible study from 7 till 9, and sometimes it goes till 9:30 or 10 or 11 or 12, you know, but not too often, you know. Usually we try to quit the teaching by 9:30 anyway, 9 or 9:30, depending on questions, so that you can go home if you want to. But some of them are gluttons for punishment, you know, and some of them hang around till 11, 12. Some of them come back at 11 o'clock to get prayed over. Miss Jan and her daughter, you're laughing. She said she got home and got to thinking, hey, I got to be prayed for. And she got a couple things. Her daughter got back in the car, and they came back down here late that night and wanted to be prayed for. I said, glory to God, you know. That's the whole thing. So that's the way we do it down here. And then next Saturday, we have a healing school again. Next Saturday, we have a healing school. And I got a couple that's coming in from Iowa that I got to pick up Friday and bring them over to the hotel. They're flying in. Last month, we had people from Oklahoma. We had people from, in fact, last 2 weeks ago, I had people out at the field house. I had, I thought there was only going to be six people there when we started, the smallest group I've ever had. But the first two came was from Abilene, and the second couple was from Iowa also. They drove down from Iowa to come to a healing school. Isn't that amazing? So, but because of the races and all that stuff, we had the roads blocked up. About 30 minutes into it, we had about 40 people show up. So we had a pretty nice healing school. But next Saturday, right here at 1 p.m., we'll have a healing school. And the Lord does wonderful things in this healing school. You know, He heals people and He teaches you what causes sickness and disease. And He teaches you how to walk in divine health. So those are the things that we're going to have. And on my website, so those of you that don't know, our website, Dave has put the entire ATI conference schedule, including the pictures of everything, and everything is in that entire picture, that conference schedule, in color on our website. So you can go there, look at it. You can everything is there. You can read about it. And then the four conferences that I'm scheduled to speak at, they're on there. And then I've been given two more new ones now. By Bill, and one of them's over here in Plano, and I forget, this is in July, I think, but I don't remember for sure. But anyway, that will be on there as soon as I get the information, and I had it, but I forgot to bring it, so I'll get it to you, Dave, so you can put it on there. But we're going to be doing some speaking at those conferences, and I know God is going to do some awesome things among all those people. He just does wonderful things. And then, again, for those of you that have, I know some of you come from many different churches, but the Passion is going to be, it started this morning up at Lakeland, and they'll have another act of it this afternoon starting at 7. And then Wednesday night at 7, they'll have another act of it. And then Thursday and Friday at 7, they'll have other acts. And next Sunday morning, they will have the final act, the act of the resurrection. So Lakeland Baptist Church, that's where I was raised up. I mean, I served there for 25 years, I guess, in Lakeland Baptist Church. I started there when it was a little bitty, tiny building, when there was nothing on that side of Interstate 35 except that little building and about 15 houses. That's how long ago that's been. So, you know, that's 30 years ago, or maybe longer. 1967 was when I started there. And, of course, Lakeland Baptist Church is now a humongous church. As you go up 35, when you get to Main Street, it's a big one on the left that's got the great big crosses in front of it that's about 100 feet tall. Great big concrete crosses. So it's a big, big, beautiful church. I served there, and Al, one of the gentlemen that I knew there, when I left there 20 years ago to go out to my farm, Brother Ben and them, he gave me some stuff and everything. He was the pastor there and had been for a long time. And Brother Al, when he walked up to me, and he was one of the deacons, and I never forget what he said. He said, "Thurman, a lot of men that serve with me on the deacon council, when they leave, I never remember them. But," he said, "all I got to say about you is I will never forget you." I don't know how he meant that. But I was never what you consider to be a normal Christian. Praise God. So anyway, I've just been a little bit unique, but I'm going to read this little flyer to you, just a couple of paragraphs here that Bill Gothard has sent out. One of the people brought this to me today from his institute. The title of the topic, it says, "The Power of God's Word and Faith to Move Mountains." And then he says, "On Friday, February the 27th, 2004, my assistant, Andy Warner, said, 'I need to inform you about a serious medical problem that I have. My spinal nerve has become inflamed, and every time I try to bend over, intense pain shoots down my right side. My chiropractor gave me 3 options. 1, go home and lie down for a month. 2, try to work a few hours a day and begin taking steroids. 3, have another back operation." Another back operation. None of the options sounded like a solution. So we called Thurman Scrivener and asked if he would pray for Andy. For 20 minutes, Mr. Scrivener quoted Scripture and asked Andy if he believed Scripture, like Matthew 18:19. "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." He then asked Andy several questions about his walk with the Lord and determined that nothing was hindering God's healing. He asked Andy to follow him in a prayer based on Scripture, and then he announced that based on the authority of God's Word, Andy's pain would clear up by the morning. Within a few minutes, Andy bent over and touched the floor with no pain and has not had any since that moment. God healed him. Now, isn't that amazing? God's in a bigger hurry than I was, see? I told him that he would be totally healed by morning. God said, no, that's not what I want to do. You prayed the prayer of faith. Bam, he heals him instantly right there in his office. So he says, "On Thursday, I received an update on a knee injury that Bob Gigert had suffered during alert training. The doctors explained it would require a long period for healing and that he would possibly have permanent damage in his knee. They also diagnosed his short-term memory loss as post-traumatic stress disorder. On Friday morning, we arranged again a conference call between Bob and Thurman Scrivener. Mr. Scrivener had only 15 minutes to talk." That's the morning I was in a hurry. That's right. I mean, I went by the house. In fact, you talk about God being in this. I went to town to get some things. I was coming to Dallas, and I come by my road, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I forgot something. I got to run back by the house. So I went up my road, went running into the house, walked in the door. The instant I walked in the door, the phone was ringing. And I thought, Lord, do I answer that or not? I've just got a few. I thought, okay, Lord, I'll answer. So I picked it up, and it was Bill Gothard with this guy, Bobby. And so I told him, and then he said, Thurman said he only had 15 minutes. So he went through the Scriptures and then asked Bob to follow him in a prayer. Even before the prayer was finished, Bob experienced freedom from the pain. And after the call, he said to his mother, "I've been healed." He felt so good that he ran 1/4 of a mile to a mountain trail, and then he hiked it for 3.5 miles. He then played basketball for 4 hours with no pain. That night he was able to read and recount to someone what he had read, just demonstrating that the memory loss was also healed. Thurman Scrivener will be teaching principles of faith in all of the regional ATI conferences, and every ATI family will benefit greatly from hearing these teachings. Yeah. Praise. Praise the King. All I can say is, Lord, thank you for being our God and our Lord. Isn't He awesome? What a mighty God. If the church ever gets a hold, and they're going to, the church, we're getting a hold of it, aren't we, Dick? You guys and gals are going to be praying the prayer of faith. Now, just think about this little thing that God gave me years ago. If God made me a promise I am just simple enough to believe that if God says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. I'm just simple enough to believe that God meant that. I don't think it takes a doctor of theology to explain that away. You know, I just think God meant what He said. Since He made so many of us simple people, He wrote the Bible fairly simple. I mean, just like that scripture we read a while ago over there in Proverbs. If you're a liar, you're going to perish. You know, if you are a false witness, you will not go unpunished. I mean, that ought to get somebody's attention, right? Next time you go to tell a lie, you think, uh-oh, I'm cutting my life short if I tell that lie. I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm going to tell the truth. Because, see, that's part of your armament that we talked about the other day in Ephesians, when we was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, and put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, you realize that the lost people don't wrestle against the devil? That's only the Christians. Only the Christians wrestle against the devil. I mean, according to the Word of God, the devil can take those people that are his at his will. I mean, he has the freedom to do anything with them, but he don't care about them. I mean, so once in a while he sends a sickness or a disease or something upon some of those to kill them, there's no big deal. I mean, they belong to him. He can do what he wants to. And you and I have never learned how to do spiritual warfare to get people delivered from his kingdom into the kingdom of God. And people say, my goodness gracious, surely God wants everybody to be saved. Well, yeah, he does want everybody to be saved, but he handed that to you and me. He said, now you take authority over the devil, and you command him to get his hands off of those people. And when you get a hold of this fact, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if you don't know where that scripture's at, in 1 John 3:8, you need to make sure you know what that scripture says. 1 John 3:8. Let's just go there a minute. I want you to see what you've got to learn to do to be able to overcome the enemy. Because the enemy, this devil, that I used to didn't even know existed, I'm telling you, I've now realized, and of course I've made this statement on several of my different teachings, the human heart alone is not sufficient to create all the problems we have. Y'all come on in. We'll find you a place over here somewhere. Where we get some empty seats? Right over here, back over here. Come on, just come right on across here. You can come across the front right here, ma'am. Come right up there, and there's some seats right back there. Just come on. No problem. Yeah, y'all just come on in here. We get you in here. Praise the King. We just have church here. We're not doing anything fancy. We just have church. We talk about Jesus in this place, right? We talk about Jesus. So, when you go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, you'll find out then 1 John 3:8, the Word of God clearly says here, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, when I got to thinking about these and meditating on scriptures like that, I think, Lord, all these different people out there that are just sinning, I mean, they're doing all kinds of bad things. You know, they're lying, they're stealing, they're cheating, they're committing adultery, fornication, you name it, they're doing it. Well, according to the Word of God, who do they belong to? The devil. Sure, they're the devil's children. Now, I mean, you want to really knock somebody right off their block, you walk up to some guy, and I've done this, and I say, are you a Christian? Well, no, I don't believe in that stuff. Oh, so you're a child of the devil. I'm not a child of the devil. I said, oh, yes, you are. No. I said, I thought you said you didn't believe in Jesus. Well, I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm not a child of the devil. Now, see, whose mind is blinded by the God of this world? His is, because if he's not a child of the King, he's a child of the devil. He belongs to the devil, and the devil can take him at will. Now then, the Word of God right there says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Very clear. So, if you're out there committing sin every day, and you're lying, cheating, stealing, you're living with some guy out of wedlock or some girl out of wedlock, if you're doing all this stuff, your father is the devil. Now, if you are a child of God and you're doing all those things, You either need to get saved, you need to come to know Jesus, and you need to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness and delivered out of that and translated into the kingdom of light. When you get into the kingdom of light, then you start studying the Word of God. And when you start studying the Word, you begin to understand who you are and what you're supposed to do. So you stop sinning. Now, don't believe that old lie that you're just a human being. You can't not sin. You believe what the Word says and work diligently to have no sin in your life. Because that proverb we read a while ago, if you have no sin in your life, you walk holy before God, what can the evil one do to you? Nothing. Well, see, right there, and we turn over one page to 1 John 5:18, and that confirms what that proverb said again in the New Testament. In 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, if you're born of God, how much sin are you supposed to have? None. You're not supposed to sin. And it says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one, the evil one, toucheth him not. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. I kind of like it that the evil one can't touch me. You know, I mean, if I love to walk through the course of the day knowing that that devil can't get to me. Knowing that he's right there, I can just see that beast just reaching out right now, thinking, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you any way I can. And he's just putting thoughts in my mind on a regular basis. Now, that's one thing you can't control. You cannot control the thoughts that come to your mind. I mean, the devil, he'll do this to you. You'll be driving down the road or something. Or, I mean, it's amazing. You can be looking at something on television, anything, the news, if you watch it, and the devil will put a thought in your mind. I mean, he'll put a bad thought in your mind. Now then, if he gives you anything to look at with your eyes, any of your five physical senses that he can get through to you with, he will put thoughts in your mind. I mean, he knows exactly what your weakness is. Maybe your weakness was one time before you got saved, it was drinking a certain kind of scotch or something, you know, and you loved it. And one day you got saved and you got delivered from that. Now then, if you're not careful, every time you see that sign that's got that particular scotch on that glass with a beautiful woman on it, you know, they never put the scenes that happen. They always put the macho guys and girls on those scenes. You've never seen a beer scene or a beer advertisement or a beer commercial on television that they wasn't out on the beach with the most beautiful women and the most macho men. There ain't never been one out there with a beer belly this big on him. There ain't never been one. And there ain't never been one of them scenes where the two or three or four kids got drunked up and come running down the highway and they wrecked and tore cars all over the place and body parts are laying all over the pieces. Say, this is what happens when you drink. No, you don't see that in advertisement, do you? No, they ain't dumb. The devil is not dumb. He's not going to show you that. But that's what happens to you when you do those things. So he's pretty smart. He knows exactly what gets you. So every time you see one of those commercials, if you used to be a drinker, he'll put that thought in your mind. Woo, wouldn't you just love to have just one more of those drinks? And you've got to capture that thought and say, oh, no, you devil, no. I'm delivered out of that mess. I don't do that. Now, if your habit was overeating, and a lot of people have that habit today. You know, if you have a habit of overeating, well, the devil knows exactly where your weakness is. So you walk in and there's that coconut cream pie sitting there, you know. Now, you've already had dinner. Some of y'all's tongue and some of y'all's palate started watering when I said that. You know where I'm coming from? You wasn't a bit hungry at all until I said coconut cream pie, and all of a sudden your tongue began to desire a coconut cream pie. Well, see, the enemy works on us like that. And so he'll say, whoa, you just got to have something. He said, no, I'm not even hungry. You know, I'm not the least bit hungry. Oh, but he said, just one nice big piece of that wouldn't hurt you at all. Just one. And so usually what do we do? Richard's telling the truth, Jen. He said, I just eat the whole pie. Now, see, you're going to have to learn to capture yourself, Richard. I'll tell you what, I got one better than that. Jen, you take it away from him, you know. He can't eat it. But see, that's what happens to us. That's the way the enemy gets through to us. And he gets through to us in wherever our weakness is. I mean, it's amazing what the devil is doing to us. Now, as I've made a statement on several of my teachings, the human heart cannot conceive and act upon all the things, the wicked things that happens to human beings today. So the enemy comes to you and put those thoughts in your mind. Like somebody gave me that story just a week or two ago, maybe it was last Sunday, about the lady that killed her sons. Now, isn't that amazing? And then she said God told her to do it. Well, let me tell you, I've heard a lot of people tell me something that God has told them. And when they tell me, it's very easy for me to discern. And some of them say, but I heard a voice, and God told me to do this. That's like a woman told me one time. She said, I was talking in a class, I was teaching about God speaking. She said, well, I heard God's voice one time. I said, what did he say? She said, my son, I forget what his name, I'll just use Bob. Bob is the wickedest guy, and he'll never be saved. She said, God told me that. I said, yep, God told you that, all right. You know what God it was? The devil. That was not the God that we serve. That was not the king of the universe. That was the devil, and that devil put that thought in that woman's mind. Or actually, he spoke to her in an audible voice she could hear. It sounded just like somebody spoke to her, but that's what the devil will do to you. He will put thoughts in your mind. He will speak to you in an audible voice to tell you to do something that's wrong. When he tells you to do something that's wrong, if you yield to it, that gives him legal right to torment you. So if there was no devil, I'm going to tell you, if there was no devil, we would not have the problem we have on the earth today. We would have a blessed place. We would have a good place to live. People wouldn't steal. Because the human heart alone is not going to conjure up all those things. I'm going to tell you that since the Word of God tells us in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, I'm going to tell you that anything that comes anywhere from anywhere, even like that woman that was riding that horse I was telling you about, that reared up and she fell off, and then the horse fell over backward on her and crushed her body and messed her up, I'm going to tell you that was from the devil. Now then, if that was from the devil, and it had to be, then what did Jesus come to do? Destroy the works of the devil. Well, how in the world, you know, I used to look at this stuff and I said, Lord, if you came to destroy the works of the devil, then why is all this bad stuff going on? Well, you know how he destroys the works of the devil? Through our faith, our prayers of faith. That's exactly right. Now then, whenever the devil did what he did to that woman with that horse and throw it off, just like when he did with Johnny down yonder in Louisiana, whenever that tractor, I don't have any idea exactly what happened. All I know is somehow he fell and a tractor ran over his leg and messed up his leg, and the doctor said he would never walk again. That was a work of the devil. People say, well, Thurman, that was just an accident. No, there's no such thing as accidents. The devil is out here doing everything that's going on. There is no such thing as accidents. If you could see what's going on in the spirit realm, if you could see it, if you could see what the devil was doing, if the Lord could open your eyes to the spirit world that's around you, it would literally shock you. In fact, I'm going to tell you, most of the church know better than we've been trained about who these demonic spirits are. Most of us, if we were to see the enemy that's been assigned to us, we would literally have a heart attack. Because we don't believe what this book says. But you got to realize who's after you and what he's doing and what he's trying to do to steal, kill, and destroy you. And so when you get a hold of what's going on in the spirit world that's around you, and you get a hold of the fact that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, when you can realize he gave you all this power of this book, that when you speak his words in faith, when you speak them in faith, God wants to do what he said he would do. And he said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So if the Lord came to destroy the works of the devil, as far as I'm concerned, just like I told Johnny, I said, Johnny, this was a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to guarantee you God's going to heal you. Now, what did Jesus say he came to do? Destroy the works of the devil. The devil caused that problem with Johnny's leg. And so when I took the prayer of agreement and I prayed over his leg, what should we do if God, if we got all of our sins confessed and we know we're walking holy before God, we know that we're obedient sons and daughters of the Lord. Maybe we had a lot of sin in our life, but thank goodness for Jesus. When we come and confess our sins, how clean are we? Clean. You know, you don't have to have no more sin. You don't want no more sin. So that's why in all these men in Bill Gothard's office, now then not only do we have those two boys that he talked about in that newsletter, but since he wrote that newsletter, there's been another young man by the name of Luke. In fact, the other day, of course, that got too late, they called me again. Another young man, the name of Luke. And again, this boy's down in his back. And this boy's only 21 years old. And he's got this serious problem. So I began to talk to him. And I had plenty of time that day. So I said, son, tell me when this started. He said, well, Mr. Scrivener, it started as far back as I can remember. He said, as far back as 3 years old, I've been tormented with back pains all my life. I said, well, then tell me about your mom and daddy. He began to tell me about his mom and daddy. I found the sins quickly. I knew exactly what the problems were. So after I found out what the problem was with his mother and the problem she had had before she got married to his daddy and the problems that was there, I told him, I said, son, because of your mother's past sins, you've got a soul tie there with your mama that's allowed the devil to come in and torment you. I said, now I want you to forgive your mother for what she's done. I want you to ask God to forgive you. And I said, I'm going to tell you that more than likely, since your mother was involved in activity that she shouldn't have been involved in as a young woman, I'm going to guarantee you through that soul tie, you got the same problem as a 21-year-old young man, and you probably sinned the same way. He said, yes, sir, I have. I said, okay, you got to get clean before God. I said, I want you to lay down this telephone. I don't want to know what your sins are. And I don't want nobody listening there in that room because I don't have a clue how many people's on this conference call. I want you to lay down the phone. I want you to go in a room by yourself, just you and God, and I want you to confess every sin you've committed that you know of in your entire life since you become a Christian. I want you to ask God to forgive you for all and name them out loud to the King. While he was gone, I told Andy, the young boy that had been healed a few weeks before. I said, Andy, pick up your Bible, son, and start reading Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. He picked it up and said, these signs shall follow those that believe. In the name of Jesus, they shall drive out devils. I said, wait a minute, Andy. Are you a Baptist? He said, yes, sir. I said, you know you can cast out devils? He said, well, I never heard that taught before in my life. I said, what did the Word say? He said, the Word says I can cast out a devil. I said, okay, keep reading. He went on down through the speaking in tongues and handling the serpent, and no deadly poison shall hurt you. And then he said, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, did you know you had power in you to lay hands on the sick and they get well? He said, no, sir, I didn't know that. I said, read those two verses over and over until Luke gets back in here. So for 10 minutes, I said, read them out loud. So he was reading them on the phone, reading them over and over and over. How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. So when Luke came back, I said, son, you got all your sins confessed? Mr. Gothard was right there, the whole deal. I don't have any idea who all was listening. He said, yes, I got my sins all confessed. I said, good. I said, Andy, reach over and put your hands on his back and command that evil spirit to come out of him in the name of Jesus. He reached over and put his hands on him and said, I said, say it after me. You foul spirit of infirmity, I command you to come out of my friend Luke and go to the pit and don't ever come back. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Lord, I've got my hands on his back and he's healed because you said it in Jesus' name. I said, then say, thank you, Lord. I said, both you guys say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And Luke was instantly healed, just like that, standing in Bill Gothard's office. I said, see, guys, it's not me. It's the Word of God that's doing it. It's the Word of God that's doing it. And, of course, then Bill told me, he said, a few weeks ago, whenever I'd call, his sister was sitting over there, had migraine headaches at least every other night. She heard me talking about these things. And from the day I rebuked the devil in that one girl that I was praying over, she said, I have not had another migraine headache. And she said, I'm not going to have another one. Praise the Lord. Isn't he doing some awesome things in Bill Gothard's office? So it's amazing what God is doing and how he's confirming this mountain-moving faith that Bill says I have. What am I doing? I'm quoting the Word of God. And I'm standing on it, but I'm doing everything I can in the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in complete, total obedience every day to the Word of God. No sin. My goal is no sin. I want to walk holy before the King. Because he said, if you do that, you don't have to put up with the devil, didn't he, Dick? You don't have to put up with the devil. And he says, you can come and ask me for anything, and behold, I give unto you power. See, if you're walking holy before God, then those scriptures, behold, I give unto you power, works. So whenever you, as a child of God, if you will believe these promises that God made us, and you will pray in faith, you're going to be about the work of the Lord, destroying the works of the devil. Now, where is your faith limited? How is it limited? It's limited according to our knowledge of the Word. Now, here's the thing. The first time you pray for someone, I can guarantee the enemy will be there to say, but you know, it works for Thurman, but it ain't going to work for you. Oh, you know what I mean, don't you, young lady? I see her shaking her head violently there. Yes. How many of the rest of you had the same problem I did? You ever had that problem? When you start to do something for God, that thought that comes and says, but he ain't going to do it for you. But guess where that come from? The enemy. Now start listening to the Word, because the Word says it will work for you. So don't let the devil cheat you out of these mighty things. I will have to say, the first time, and I remember the first time that I used Matthew 18:19, and then turned and guaranteed the mother and father that what I prayed for is going to happen. And it was just a little bitty tiny thing. All I was asking the Lord to do was in 1995, and it was in May, all I was asking the Lord to do was remove all the warts and scars off the body of an 11-year-old boy that had them for 8 years. That's all I was asking for. He only had them all over his face, in his nose, in his mouth, underneath his throat, all over his hands, and had two great big old scars on the back of his hand, and I know there ain't nobody in the world can take a scar off. And whenever I prayed the prayer of faith, when God says, again, I tell you, there's two of you on earth agree about anything, it will be done for you. I asked them, they agreed, and they said, yes. Then she said, when are they going to come off? And I said, that's the only thing God don't tell me, but I guarantee you on the word of the living God that in a few days that Philip will not have a wart or a scar on his body. Now, when you step over into that realm, if God guaranteed it and he said you got to believe it with no doubt, we ought to start learning to use the word, I guarantee God's word. When you guarantee God's word, what does he do? He shows up. He shows up to do mighty miracles. And many of you in here are starting to do these things. You're starting to act on these things. And you're seeing great things. Now, I didn't read on down in the rest of that deal that Bill wrote, but Bill told me, he says in that article, I didn't read it all, but he said, in the last 2 months, I've spent many hours on the phone with this man. And he said, in the last 2 months, I've learned more about faith than I have in the last 10 years. That's what he said. But now see, God has called me out to do a special thing for the body of Christ. To teach you how faith works. That's like Brother Jim. Jim, the first time he invited me to their home, Jim Ash, he said, I am not where this man is, but I'm going to get there. And that's what we're going to get. We want to be there. Everybody should want to be there. If you're a daughter or a child, a son of God, your desire should be to see the Lord do these mighty things on a day-by-day basis. You know what a privilege it is to speak over a man with a knee and see that man, the doctor said, with his knee run over, he ain't never going to walk again, and see that man in just a few minutes running up and down the aisles of a church. And then to see his wife and everybody down there in Louisiana that he knows, and he knows many, on fire. Walking into the place, he says, What happened to you? Did your leg get well? Yeah, how did it happen? Jesus showed up and miraculously healed me over the church over here the other night, called the gathering place. What? Jesus showed up? No. Come on, now tell me the truth. See, that's where we live, isn't it? I mean, Jesus? No. He died 2,000 years ago. Tell me the truth now. What happened? What kind of doctor did you go to? No, it was Dr. Jesus. Yeah, it was not some crazy figment of my imagination. Did you notice also that when they called me with Bob, they had some problems? Bob had this, whatever they called it, he couldn't remember anything either. I said, that's just the devil too. I said, that's a demon. I said, oh, Mr. God, I said, I forgot, I'm not supposed to use the word demon or a Baptist. It scares the Baptist. Okay, he got an unclean spirit. stealing the words out of his mouth. See, I mean, because the King James Bible is what most Baptists use, and the word unclean spirit used 60 times in there, and the word evil spirit used 6 times. So if I use those, if they believe the book, I'm on good ground, see. Now then, if I use the word demon, it's not in there. But let me tell you what they are, folks. They're demons. They're wicked, nasty beasts. They're demons. And they come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But the thing about it is, when you walk holy before God, a demon, an unclean spirit, an evil spirit, whatever you want to call him, including the devil himself, he has absolutely no power over you until you give it to him. He cannot touch you until you give it to him. Just like Linda, that was Johnny's wife, whenever she, as a Baptist woman, a precious, wonderful Baptist woman, I mean, she got up in the morning, and when she, these pains and symptoms all come upon her, she just thought this was a way of life. It had never become a reality to that woman that Jesus bore her pain on the cross. So if Jesus bore her pain on the cross, he didn't plan for his daughter to have pain. But when she got a hold of that, and she rebuked that beast and commanded him to leave, I mean, when all them pains left that Sunday morning, and Linda Brumfield goes to church in her Baptist church, she called me on her cell phone that afternoon. She said, "Mr. Scrivener, I have never sing in my life like I sing in that Baptist church." And that woman, she's a black woman. And I'm telling you, some of these black women, man, they can sing the Word of God. I mean, they can sing it. They know how to sing it. We need to take some examples from some of those people. I mean, they can sing the Word of God. And that woman and her husband was absolutely on fire for Jesus. Now, that Baptist home ain't never going to be the same. It ain't never going to be the same, because now then her husband's running and playing, which couldn't do nothing. Now she's learned who the enemy is, and she's taking authority. The devil's in big trouble in Manny, Louisiana. Isn't it awesome? Praise the King. Glory to God. What an awesome God we serve. But you're going to have to realize that I used to wonder, if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, then why in the world is the devil still appearing to be running things? Good question, isn't it? I'd asked that question many a time. And then finally one day I got the revelation. The cross must be enforced upon the earth. So if the devil comes upon people, and he calls that tractor to run over Johnny's leg, how did we get a heal? We took the Word of God and came against the works of the devil, and we overcame in the name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcame, and his knee was miraculously healed. The woman out there on the horse. Luke the other day, get an office. And then again this last week, a lady called me, and she said, "My pastor in Lubbock saw you on the GLC, God's Learning Channel out there, and said your address was in Argyle." She said, "We live in Argyle." So said she called us. It was a lady pastor called this couple that moved from out there to here. And said, "My husband," when she called me, she said, "My husband and I have started churches. We've been in the ministry for years. We love God with all of our heart. But in the last year, my husband's been down with his back." What is it we don't understand about, "I came to destroy the works of the devil"? What do we do when the devil comes up? It couldn't be a devil in me. I mean, I'm started churches. I mean, I'm loving God. I'm doing all these things. But somewhere, you'd be amazed at how easy it is to sin. So, when you sin, and you can sin in so many ways that you don't even know of, you open the door, and so the devil comes in. So, when the devil comes in, now then you're down in your back. You never associate the fact that that's a devil in your back. That's putting that pain. So I told him, I said, "Are you and your wife walking holy before God?" I talked to her probably 10 minutes, and after a few minutes she said, "Sir, I need you to talk to my husband." She said, "Boy, we never heard things like you're saying." I said, "Ma'am, it's all in the Word of God." You know. So she said, "Well, let me let you talk to him." So she gave me to that gentleman. I talked to him a few minutes. I made sure all his sins were confessed, that he believed God's Word. He was walking holy before God. And after that, I said, "Now then, sir, I want you and your wife both to open the Bible to one mighty promise, Matthew 18:19. I've heard people say, "But Thurman, he's talking about something else there." Well, I mean, I'm sure glad they didn't get to me a long time ago. You know, they might have deceived me. But you know, when I read from the Savior, and he said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. I'm just simple enough to believe God meant that. And so since I'm just simple enough to believe it, I told that man, can you believe it? And he said, yes, I can. I said, good. I'll rebuke the enemy and pray the prayer of faith for you. And I did. And I said, now you're healed. He said, the pain's gone. I said, well, why don't you begin to praise the King? Dumbfounded. Like the little lady, I don't know if she's here or not, don't see her right now, but she's probably here somewhere. The little lady that's out here at the healing school the other day, 2 months back, and when she was sitting there at that healing school, she had pain in her leg. And she was sitting there, and about 3 hours into the healing school, just teaching the Word of God, the pain left. And so she's there twisting around saying, it's got to be down there somewhere. Where is it? It's got to be there somewhere. Now, guess what happened? The devil left because the Word of God was being taught. And since the Word of God is being taught, the devil left. And when he left, her pain left. And so she got healed. Isn't that amazing? See, who is it that's creating our problems? The devil. What Jesus come to do? Overcome and destroy the works of the devil. If you let the devil beat up on you as a Christian, then you're shame on you, just like he did me for the first 45 years of my life. He beat up on me big time. I didn't have a clue what it was that was causing all these problems. And you know, all you got to do is go to any hospital, and you see people everywhere that's sick and afflicted and tormented. Now, many of those people belong to the devil. If they belong to the devil, can you get those people healed even though they belong to the devil? Yes, you can. What did Jesus come to destroy? The works of the devil. You walk into a hospital room and you find somebody, you say, and they're just like Pastor Craig down there in Louisiana, last time I was down there, before this time. I mean, I guess his face was as high as it's ever been. I left there, and he walked over just a few days or weeks later, and it was a lady. And in the hospital, had brought her in. Her hip was out of joint. I mean, she was in excruciating pain. Her bone somehow slipped out. And they'd already got her to the doctor. He walks in. He said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? And she told him. He said, I'm waiting on a doctor. He said, well, why don't we pray? Now, isn't that amazing? Why don't we pray? So he asked God to put that bone back in. And bam, it slipped right back in. The woman got up and goes, hey, that's awesome. My leg ain't hurting. You know, so she's jumping around there, getting her stuff. She says, man, I'm okay. So he said, I was in a hurry, so I went outside, and there's her son-in-law sitting outside. And said, my faith is just mountain high. I said, son, do you know Jesus? Now, my mother-in-law, she does, but I don't know Jesus. He said, well, you need to know Jesus. He said, no, I don't know him. But he said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, I got a bad foot. He said, if I were to bend down and lay hands on your foot, and the Jesus I love, if he healed your foot, would you serve him? Uh-huh. Well, he said, if he'll heal my foot, I guarantee I'll serve him. So Pastor Craig just fell down on his hands and knees, put his hands on that feet, and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this man. And he instantly healed him right there. The man starts running around. And he said, wow. He said, now then, what you need to do is make Jesus your Savior. He said, yes, I'll do it. So he said, I led that man into the kingdom, got him saved. About that time, his mother called him, come running out and said, son, I'm ready to go to the house. He said, what happened to you? He said, that man right there prayed for me and my head went back in socket. Now, what does our Jesus come to do? He come to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is out there. He's doing all kinds of things. Now, you know what we do? We walk in one morning and we got an old sour push. You know, somebody says, good morning. He said, oh, what's good about it? Oh, it's terrible. Hey, that ain't nothing very good, you know, to being a Christian, is it, Wendell?
No.
When you walk into work, everybody ought to know who you are. When you walk in where you want to say, praise God, does anybody in here today need anything from Jesus? I brought him with me. He's in me. The Holy Ghost and power is in me. Anybody need to be saved or healed? You got a pain this morning? You got a headache? I'm going to cast this devil out of you. In the name of Jesus. And if you'll confess the name of Jesus like that, what's Jesus going to do for you? He's going to do some awesome things. And the church, the King said he came to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, I think about Wally a while ago. Wally said he was put to the test this week. He said a man, he was having dinner with somebody right across the table, and man, the demon in this guy rose up and he started really doing some bad things, just like he's thinking to punch Wally out. Wally said, I stood right in his face and said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Right across the table in a restaurant. And he said, the guy was totally okay. How much power do we have over the devil as children of God? All. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Realize you're a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. You've got these angels, like a gentleman back there, Charlie. He asked me a while ago, he said, this gentleman has committed Psalms 91 and Psalms 103 to memory. The whole, both Psalms. He asked me a question. He says, what is Psalms 103, verse 20, when it says the angels hearken to the word of God spoken here? What does he mean? You know what he means? I told Charlie, he got it. I said, the word of God spoken in the earth today comes out of man in your mouth. As we speak these words out of our mouth, it causes the angels to go forth to hearken or perform the word of God as you and me speak it out of our mouth today. Now, what if you don't have none of the word in you? You can't speak it. But if you got the word in you, don't you walk into your workplace and start doing what I said a while ago until you got some word in your heart. When you got the word in your heart and you know that these scriptures are yours, read them, meditate on them, quote them, have them in your heart, believe God. I mean, and then get the word, you can believe scriptures. Like he says, if you can believe, nothing shall be impossible with you. Get to where you can believe those. In fact, it's amazing that when I pray for people, it's amazing the people that cannot believe some of the little things I see God do. I mean, little things. I mean, you pray for a headache. I mean, it's kind of amazing. Just like the other night, and I don't know if the lady's here today or not, but this lady walked in on Tuesday night Bible study, walked right up over there, and she said, do y'all have Bible study here? I said, yes, ma'am. And it's about 6:30. I said, at 7 o'clock or there, about 30, 40 minutes now, we're going to start. Well, she said, my sister and I, we want to come tonight. We heard about your ministry. But said, I have a splitting migraine headache, and I need to go down and have a bite to eat. Hopefully, my headache will go away. I said, ma'am, before you go away, come over here just a minute. She said, what are you going to do? I walked up to her and laid my hands on the side of her head. I said, you devil of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus, you spirit of pain. I said, now, woman, tell me you got a headache. And she looked at me and she said, wow, it's gone. I said, now go have a good meal and enjoy it. She said, what was going on? I said, there was just a little demon sitting on your shoulder clamping your head, and I kicked him out. In the name of Jesus. Now, that's the kind of power we have. Jesus come to do what?
Destroy!
The works of the devil. How's he going to destroy the works of the devil? Through us. We're going to take his word. He didn't say he sent forth good things to heal us. He said, I sent forth my word and I healed it. Who's going to speak the word? We are. When we speak the word of God, you walk out into the workplace, you walk into a hospital somewhere, and you start laying your hands on sick people, and you start doing something in faith, you're going to see God do the same thing I did 2 years ago when I walked through Cook's Medical Center, and 9 babies in 30 days, every one of them was terminal. Every one of them was terminal. And I had the privilege to pray over them children. In fact, little Bray Reed, I have not had any more contact with them since that day. But his daddy told me Bray was born in Cook's Medical Center and he was 2 years old and he had never been home from the hospital in 2 years. That's the works of the devil. When I walked up there and got his mother and dad to repent from all their sins, and I walked in there in that room and saw this precious little 2-year-old baby that was sweating like he was out in the field working. 2 years old. He was in such excruciating pain. The demons of hell was tormenting that little guy. Had a nurse on each side of the bed. I walked up in and I looked down in that bed and saw that little guy sweating like that. I said, ma'am, get out of the way. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to cast this devil out of this boy. That's what I'm going to do. And I walked up there and I laid my hands on that little boy and I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus and go to the pit and don't you come back in Jesus' name. And immediately the little boy began to get well. And in 2 weeks, that little boy, for the first time in 2 years, went home from the hospital.
Glory.
What did Jesus tell us to do? Destroy the works of the devil. Walk into them hospitals. Let's start doing something in faith. When you see somebody in the workplace, somebody walks in, how are you doing this morning? Well, I feel kind of bad this morning. Are you a born-again Christian? Yeah. I said, well, then don't be so ashamed of it. You know, don't you know that the Lord's not going to do nothing for you? I said, you need to start being like me. Now then, let me get you all fixed up here. Let me fire your boilers a little bit here. Let me throw a little coal there and light the fire. Let's get you going. And some guy walks in, he says, oh man, I feel terrible. Say, oh, hold it just a minute. I'll be right back to you just a minute. Let me come over here. Come over. Say, you come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. Now be healed in Jesus' name. And the guy says, woo, what happened? I feel good. Hey, when you start walking to a place like that and start believing God, I mean, you're going to see exactly the same things I've seen. That may cost you your job. That's okay. It did me. You know, but God gave me a better one. I mean, there's no way I could have continued to work as an engineer in a place of business and do what I do today. Because I'm telling you, an average day for me is 18 hours. An average day. I'm, you know, just like this morning. You know, I went to bed at 2:30 this morning. 2:30. I went to bed, but I didn't sleep till 8 o'clock. I didn't get up early because I knew that because of the races out there, I didn't have to teach a Bible study this morning because they were going to close church down till 12:30 today. Well, I can't go over there, so I told that Bible study class that I teach on Sunday morning. I said, forget it. Next Sunday, we won't be here. I said, I'll be back the next Sunday, but I won't be here this Sunday. Because I said, that's where I got the day off. This morning I woke up. I did wake up early. Woke up about 7. But when I woke up, I laid there for 2 hours and just meditated on the Word and on God. And just loved Him and praised Him and thank Him. Then I went in there and, you know, I went in there and you know, I've got a little table right beside the stool, you know, so I don't waste any time. When I sat down on the stool, I've got it open to Romans. And I just laid it over my lap and I read about 4 chapters of the book of Romans while I'm sitting there resting. You know, I mean, you don't kill no time, you know. I mean, make every minute usable for the kingdom of God. You know, have a Bible beside your bed. You know, have one sitting beside your toilet. You know, have one sitting beside the table. You know, talk about Jesus 24/7. Now, I'm going to tell you something here that I don't know how he's going to take this. But, you know, I got a little guy that lives with me that used to spend a lot of time with God. But it's anywhere. Now he's not spending near as much time with God. And I hate to say this, but a love bug bit him. Y'all all know what I mean? He knows what I mean. It seems like this little girl sitting in the front with him, he spends more time with her now than he did with God. See? Oh, good. What do you turn your red for, Wendell? But guys, that's what happens. I was young once myself and that love bug bit me too. So I know where you're coming from. But that's just part of it. When you're young, that's part of it. You have to watch what happens now when the love bug bites you. You have to be careful because the devil's always mixed in there too, see. But if you're strong as Wendell is, you won't have no problem. He'll be able to overcome those things. He knows what God's consequences are for sin, and he ain't going to step in that door, I can tell you for sure. If he does, I'll just go ahead and kill him for God and get it over with. Y'all think God would understand that? Yes, I think he would. But any time the boys had the knowledge, walked in the power of the Word of God that God has allowed this young man to walk in, if he ever steps back over in sin, I guarantee I'll just take his head off with a machete right there. He won't ever go no further. I ain't going to be merciful. And I'm going to be like one of the angels. Don't rebuke your angel because he will not forgive you. Now see, that's a devastating thing. When you think about these angels, if you're speaking the Word of God and they hearken to the Word of God, what if you speak things that's not according to the Word of God? If you've got angels that are sent to you, the Lord clearly told us in His Word, do not provoke your angel because he will not forgive you. Ooh! So you want to make sure. How do you keep from provoking your angel? Speak the Word. Walk holy before God. Seemed like I know a man somewhere over there in the Scriptures, in the book of Acts, somewhere that provoked his angel. I think the guy's name was Herod. And I think he took the glory for a speech he made one day. And somebody said, this is why you got to stay humble. This man, somebody said, this is not the voice of a man. This man that made this speech is the voice of God. And oh, he stood up with his robes on and he's strutting around there. He's somebody. And he provoked his angel because he did not give God the glory for what he was. And it said his angel smote him with a sickness and they watched the worms eat him before their very eyes. Do you want to provoke your angel? No way. I don't even want to go there, do you? No, not at all. I want to walk holy before God. But if you walk holy before God, then you don't have to sweat these kind of things. Now then, so Calvary must be enforced. On this earth, our Lord did come to destroy the works of the devil. When you get it in your spirit, that what does Acts 10:38 say? Anybody know what that says? All right, there's some of them that's got it, I guarantee you. Well, let's turn over there and read it so you'll see that we don't tell you a story. Praise God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says very clearly here that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, who is the enemy? The devil. How much power do we as Christians have over the devil? All. So when the devil comes upon you with some kind of sickness and disease, this is where we've got to get as a church. Now, I've been there for 20 years, but it took me 45 years to get there. But in the last 20 years, any time the devil tries to come upon me with a pain or a symptom, I do the same thing that Linda Brumfield did with it down in Louisiana. I take the Word of God, I drive that beast out with the Word of God, I have submitted myself to the Lord, just like the other day. When Bill called me, he said, Thurman, all you're doing is resisting the devil and he's fleeing. I said, no, Bill, that's not true. He said, that's what you're doing. I said, no. He said, Thurman, that's written in James 4:7. I said, what's the rest of that verse say? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you better get it in your spirit. I said, open your Bible and read it. See, he turned back to James 4:7. He said, submit yourself to God. Oh, I said, so submit yourself to the Lord. What does that mean? Walking in obedience to His Word. Walking in obedience to His commandments. Walking in love. Doing what the Lord says. Now, can I go out and talk evil about somebody or be a false witness or lie about somebody and get away with it? No, not according to the Word, can I? What if I never confess the sin of being a false witness to someone? Does that open the door to the devil? Yes, it does. Guarantee. If you're lying, does that open the door to the devil? Did Paul tell you to put on the girt your loins about with truth? And here you go lie. Somebody said, well, I put on my armor every day. Forget it. I ain't putting mine on every day. I put it on many years ago, and I don't ever take it off. You take your armor off at night, you get ready to go to bed, and you start laying there and say, Lord, I'm taking off my helmet of salvation. Let me tell you, forget it. You're going to be dead in the morning when you wake up if you're not lucky. Don't you take off your armament. You leave it on 24/7. This is a spiritual battle we're in. This is not a physical battle. This is not guns and bombs and knives. You don't have a helmet on that you can take off. You put that thing on when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As long as you got them gospel shoes of peace on, you got them on the minute that you start walking in peace with God. When you get out of peace, you just throw one of them shoes off. And the devil's going to hit you in the foot with something, a fiery dart. So you walk in peace all the time. You got your loins girded about with truth. You're walking in truth with no lie. Then you're protected. He cannot get through to you. You got the breastplate of righteousness on. You must know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you must act like that. You cannot be that heathen and think you're a son of God, but yet you're a wicked sinner, and you're going to go out and sin every once in a while. It's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you, if you think like that, the devil's going to destroy you. He's going to kill you, and you're going to have to learn how to talk as a Christian. You're going to have to realize what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says the Lord, if He forgives all of my iniquities, then I've got to walk around constantly saying, all of my iniquities are forgiven. I'm walking clean. The devil cannot touch me. If he heals all of my diseases, that's got to become a reality to me. If Christ healed all of my diseases, then he healed them all. So if he healed them all I got to do is make sure that every soul tie is broken. And of course, the first thing I did with Luke the other day up there in Mr. Gothard's office, since I knew the problem with him and his mother, I had him break the soul ties because he had some unholy soul ties between his mother and him. I had him break those. We broke those soul ties, and after we took care of all of his sins and everything, now there's nothing to give the devil legal right. So the very minute that Andy laid his hands on him and rebuked the pain, Luke was instantly healed. The devil that Andy cast out. Now, can you imagine this in Bill Gothard's office? A young man laying his hands on another and saying, "You devil of hell, I command you to come out of him in Jesus' name." And instantly the pain leaves and he's instantly healed. That's kind of hard to explain to your doctors of theology in certain denominations that says there ain't no such thing as devils no more. That's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? What do you do? Hey, you tell them what the Word says. I'm over this deal of doctrine. I'm not going to argue with you about doctrine. I mean, you know, just like the other day, a man called me, and his daughter was experiencing tremendous problems, and of course, Bill Gothard is the one that put him on to me. So he called me, and we talked, and I began to explain to him the Word of God. I began to explain to him that you have to go by the book. You have to operate by the owner's manual. And then I told him, I said, as an airline pilot, when I used to fly airplanes, I had to go by a book. And I had a book that was laid out with a page for every airport in the world. I had temperatures and everything. I had to meet exactly according to weights and runways, and I couldn't deviate from the book. Well, now I didn't realize until I got through talking with him, this guy was a 747 pilot. So he worked for United Airlines, so he knew exactly where I was coming from. And so as I began to go through this book and show him these things, he said, "Mr. Scribner, if these things are real, you show them in this book." He said, "This book's taking on a whole new revelation to me." I said, "Well, son, it should." But the next morning he called me back and said, "Look, I've been going over those scriptures." He said, "You know, I have a real problem with this." I said, "Why do you have a real problem with it?" He said, "If that's true, if what you showed me is the truth," he said, "then the entire church has been duped totally, completely for 2,000 years. I said, "No, not the entire church." He said, "But I have never been in a church," and he was a Baptist, "I've never been in a church that taught these things. Never." I said, "Well, that doesn't surprise me. I was in one a whole lot longer than you was, and I never heard it taught either." I said, "But no problem. It works for me." He said, "If you're telling me you're the only man that's ever walked in it?" I said, "Oh, no, I didn't tell you that." I said, "There is multitudes of people that God's got just like me." He said, "Name one." I said, "William Brennan." He said, "William Brennan? I never heard of William Brennan." I said, "Smith Wigglesworth." He said, "I ain't never heard of him either." I said, "John G. Lake." He said, "I ain't never heard of him." I said, "A.A. Allen." He said, "So where are you coming up with these names?" I said, "I didn't learn them in a Baptist church, I can guarantee you that." But I said, "These are men that believe God's Word. These are men that walked across this country. It's written with records, with television tape, and with audio tape, with hundreds and thousands of miracles that have happened under these men's ministries. Supernatural miracles." How many of you know the greatest miracle that happened to A.A. Allen? How many of you have heard about the little boy that was healed? Only a few of you? Let me tell you that miracle. I'm going to tell you that in my finishing up today. Let me show you or tell you what God will do if you'll meet His criteria and if you'll believe Him. R.W. Shambach, some of you know him, his life was totally changed by A.A. Allen because in the 50s, he was a song leader for A.A. Allen's ministries. He saw God do some awesome things, and A.A. Allen has, of course, since went home to be with the Lord. But R.W. Shambach's still alive, although he's about 75 today. He's still alive, and you hear him on television pretty regular. But Shambach told this story. I went down to his ministry one time, and he told us this story. He said, "When I worked for A.A. Allen," he said, "there was a lady came up, so it was having, somewhere in Alabama," he said, "the town, I forgot." But he said that a lady came up at the end of the week. Now, they had a morning service and an afternoon service and an evening service. So that man preached three times a day, at least an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. He's not a normal preacher. He preached the Word, and he preached it with power and authority, and then he prayed for the sick. So from early in the morning to late at night, he was a very busy man, I can assure you. But at the end of the week, There was a woman came up to see R.W., and R.W. was just a young man in his 20s. He said, she said, "I guess God's not going to hear my prayer." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I came down here expecting God to heal my four-year-old son." "What's wrong with him?" "He was born with 26 incurable diseases. He has no eyes, no slots, no eyes, no ears. His tongue is locked down outside of his mouth. His arms are all locked and twisted up in his chest, and his legs are drawn and twisted up into his stomach." What does that sound like? The works of who? The devil. Guarantee that's the works of the devil. That's a demon that came in that little boy somehow, and he tormented that little guy. But anyway, she said, "I was hoping that God would hear my prayer and heal my boy." Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't drive from another state to Alabama with a boy in that kind of shape unless you heard that preacher, something supernatural is happening in those ministries. You don't come to a normal church. You go to a church where God shows up. Well, she brought this baby hoping God would heal this baby. But she said, "I've been here all week." She said, "I've spent all of my money. My car is empty on gas. And I've got to go back to another state." And said, "I've got one $20 bill left to my name." She said, "Tomorrow I have to go back home." So that evening, when the service, R.W. Schembach heard her tell him this personally. That evening, they get up there and AA, they sing a little while, 30, 40 minutes or whatever. And then AA gets up and said, before we preach tonight, I'm going to take an offering tonight. He said, "I'm going to do that first." And he said, "I want you to give God a sacrifice. Don't just give him some little something. Give him a sacrifice tonight." And so they passed the buckets. And R.W. said, "I looked over and I watched that bucket. When he got that woman, she took that last $20 out and dropped it in that bucket." Now that's a sacrifice, folks. She's in another state in a car that's out of gas with a handicapped boy with another woman that ain't got a dime left when she gives that $20 bill away. She's got to get back home. Are you talking about a sacrifice? She's going to give it to the man of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, there ain't many people I know who got that kind of faith. Very few. When it comes to your money, you're a little bit particular who you give it to. When you give it to God, you can't give it to nothing better than God. And you give it to God through His ministries. But anyway, when they passed that bucket and that woman, he said, "I saw her put that $20 bill in there." She had that little boy sitting on a chair right there with her, all in that knot. He said, "Hey," he started preaching. He'd been preaching about 30 minutes. And all of a sudden he looked up at her and he says, "The Lord's showing me a vision." He said, these were normal things in his meetings. God did this to AA, normal. He said, "I see a white building." I said, "It looks like a hospital." I said, "It is a hospital." I said, "It's a maternity ward." I said, "The baby's being born in there." He's seeing all this in the spirit. He don't know none of this. Only Schembach knows this. Does not know this story. He said, "There's a woman in there, a baby's just been born, and the doctor said he's got 12, 16, 26 incurable diseases." So the doctor just said that baby won't live a year. "I just see that woman taking that baby home," and said, "I see that woman at her home, and that baby's 4 years old." And said, "That woman and another woman's getting in the car," and said, "You're coming down." I said, "Woman, you're in this meeting tonight. Where are you?" The Lord showed him all that in the spirit. This woman stood up. He said, "Bring that baby down here to me." She said, she walked down that hall, and it's a church with 4,000 people in it. 4,000 people. She walked down the aisle and she reached up and handed that baby up to him on a platform. He said he picked up that baby out of that woman's arms and held that little tiny four-year-old thing up to God and says, "Now I want every one of you to close your eyes and pray." And Schembach said, "This is one time I'm going to be scriptural." He said, "The Word of God says, watch and pray." He said, "There ain't no way I'm going to close my eyes with what I've seen and know what's going on." He said, "I'm looking straight at that boy." He said, AA holds that little baby up and says, "God, in the name of Jesus, do a healing, a miracle on this baby." And he said, "The first thing I seen was that little guy's tongue slip back in his throat. Bam. And then the next thing I saw was whirlpools form on his face as two beautiful eyes formed." Then he said, "Ears just come out just like that." He said, "Then his little arms came loose. Crack. His legs came loose. And this little four-year-old boy jumped out of the arms of his mother. Ran over to the edge of the platform. His mother's standing there and jumped into the arms of a woman he's never heard or saw and hollered, 'Mama.'" He said, now if that wasn't enough, but said it didn't stop there. He said, all of a sudden there's 13 wheelchairs over here on this side. And all 13 of them just jumped out of there just like nothing was happening. Just jumped and began to dance and praise the Lord. He said, there's 15 stretcher cases over here. All 15 of them just bounce off their stretchers and jump and begin to praise the Lord. He said, then 6 people walked to the front with a red-tipped cane saying, we was totally blind, but we can see. And he said, in the next hour, as the Holy Ghost moved through that place, tumors fell off of people's neck, garters fell off, cancers fell out from under women's dresses on the floor and splattered on the floor. He said, in the next hour, every human being in that congregation of 4,000 was completely healed. And after the end of that, he said, people started coming up the front. That woman still standing there at the front with that little baby. People started coming up there and started dropping money in her hand. And I forget whether it was $200 or $300, what it was. Well, when she got through that day, she had a completely healed baby and $200 or $300 in her hands. All because she gave that last $20 bill to God. I'm going to tell you, that last $20 bill that that woman gave to God is what caused the Holy Spirit to do all the miracles that day. That one woman, she gave God a sacrifice. Think what God would do if you and me would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the King, every day to walk through this earth, to preach His Word unashamedly, to touch people in the name of Jesus, and expect Him to heal them and deliver them and set them free. And don't walk out there like a wimp. Walk out there in the name of the King. Be like Wally was the other night. Stand up in a restaurant and say, you devil of hell, come out of him in Jesus' name. Be bold and strong with the Word. Because if you don't have that bold, violent faith, the devil will run over you. He will run over you. He'll make you sick. When the devil comes upon you to try to make you sick or afflict you, don't you let that beast do it.
And the Lord is going to do the same thing to you. I raise you up. I have an anointing on you. And you're going to do the same thing. And awesome miracles like this are going to be for the body of Christ. I've called you to this day. And it will happen, saith the Lord. And there are many in this room. Same thing is going to happen to you. I say it by the word of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, it's awesome to see God do what we've seen Him do. I've seen Him do some awesome things, but He's going to do many more awesome things. I can't tell the Lord how much I love Him and how much I appreciate Him for allowing me to lay hands on the people and to see Him heal every kind of thing. Don't ever hesitate. I mean, if you're in a hospital and you walk in, there's a baby laying in there that's burned over 90% of their body and you don't even know who they are. Go in there and say, I'm a son of God. Can I pray over this baby? I want to just touch him in the name of Jesus. And I guarantee the God I serve, His name is Jesus. And He's going to do a miracle on this child. And you may be amazed. You may go in there and do exactly just like I did that night with that woman. That her arm burned all up. I laid hands on that woman, quoted the word of God, and I guaranteed that woman she'd get a supernatural healing from the King. And a woman with all the skin burned off the bottom of her right arm at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. By quoting the word of God, and those people there think, you know, who is this crazy nut? I mean, you laid hands on her and quoted a few verses. Yes, but you know, what makes you think God's going to do something miraculous? He said it in His Word. That's what He did. And whenever I spoke that over that woman, within minutes that woman's pain was gone. And she refused to go to a doctor. And the next morning, when that woman wakes up, that arm that was burned all to pieces don't have a mark or a scar or a blister left on it. That's our Jesus. He's doing those kind of things. So when you walk into a hospital, you pray for them babies. You pray for them people. But you do it in faith. You do it in faith, believing that the King you and me serve came to destroy the works of the devil. And He's doing it through you and me. If I had only known these things. If I had only known these things just a few years earlier. Come against the enemy. Speak in the name of Jesus. And remember, the easiest people in the world to get healed is a lost person. One that's over in the devil's kingdom. You think your God died for that man too? Yes, He did. You think He wants that man snatched out of the kingdom of hell? Yes. All you got to do is do something in faith. And when you do something in faith, when you lay hands on the sick or you cast them devils out, whatever you do, see, be tuned into the Lord Let Him do things through you, realizing that anything that's not abundant life is a devil. And you have authority over the devil. Don't, if you've got a son or a daughter that's not living right, you catch yourself up into the throne of grace and begin to praise the King, and you give that devil a command and tell him he's not going to have your daughter. He's not going to have your son. You command that devil to take your hand, take his hands off of your children, and you begin to praise and worship the King for it and say, devil, you better give it your best shot because you ain't having my son. You ain't having my daughter in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let you do it. I can't think of anything more powerful than a grandmother or a grandfather or a mother or a daddy that's walking holy before God when they come into the throne of grace and come against the devil with a fervor with the Word of God. That's the angels in force. And they go, and if you could see it, if you could see it in the spirit realm, when you pray those kind of prayers, you can see that them angels go forth and literally reach down into your son. If Benjamin was my son and he had demons and I was up there praying, you could literally see the angels come down and be grabbing those demons out of him and flinging them things out in the name of Jesus. They're doing it because our Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And don't think that it's already done. I used to read that and I think, well, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. It's already done. No, it's not already done. It's ongoing done. It's ongoing done as we take a power and authority and kick them devils out. Every day of yours in my life, as we walk through this earth, we are to be bold as a lion doing something in the name of Jesus. And when somebody calls you, you're going to have to get, I mean, now that I'm really getting a hold of this, when people call and ask me to pray for them, I'm going to tell you that when I make sure their sins are confessed and they're walking holy before God, when I rebuke the devil and command him to take their hands off, I don't care if it's cancer, I don't care what it is. You know what I expect to happen? I expect it to happen. Why? Because who is it that's doing it anyway? Jesus, my King. So don't you take nothing laying down. Don't you let the devil put sickness and disease upon you. Don't you confess nothing, but Lord, thank you that you renew my youth daily like the eagles. Lord, thank you that you're my strength. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not old and weak. Thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing shall be impossible with me because I'm a son of God. Look in the mirror and say, Lord, thank you that God is in me. Since you're in me, I can do all things. Today I'm going to go out and I'm going to speak your words. Your angels are going to do great things and we're going to see the mighty things of the kingdom of God. I'm going to see people come into the kingdom today. I'm going to see people delivered from the devil. And I'm going to see people saved today in the name of Jesus and healed. And I ain't taking no for an answer, devil, so you might as well get out of the way. I'm on the warpath today. Don't you think that's what we ought to be doing, Dick? Praise the King. So every one of you need to do that. And when you start doing that, you'll start seeing the Lord do these great and mighty things through you, just like He's doing through me and some of the users that are already getting a hold of this. So don't take no for an answer. Get out there and get over this stuff that God don't heal everybody. Get over that. When people say, spend a week trying to teach you God don't heal everybody, just come back and ask Him, what is it you don't agree about Matthew 18:19? What is it you don't agree about lay hands on the sick and they'll get well? Because here's what happens. If you can teach a man of God can begin to tell you that God does not heal everybody every time, then how easy it for the devil to deceive you to think, well, I must be the one that's not going to get healed. That's where your faith is. So you don't get healed. That's all you need is those faith-destroying words. Now, Lord, I realize you said here, anoint this man with oil, and you will raise him up. And if they have committed sins, you will forgive the sins, and the Lord will raise them up. But Lord, if it be your will you please heal, brother, when I anoint him with oil? Oh, that makes me sick. Start doing something in faith. Only believe, Jesus said. Only believe and you'll see the glory of God. How many of you in here are going to start believing God with me? Those of you who didn't hold up your hand, I hope someday you get enough faith to hold up your hand. Those of you that are not going to go out and do anything for Jesus this week, then you know, you need to come back more often. Somehow we're going to build your faith, right, Jan? You need to come back. Now then, before we close today, who's got a testimony that happened this week that you want to share? Come up here, Benjamin. You got one? Fred, you got one too? Praise the Lord. Tell us right quick.
Praise the Lord. This is for the glory of our King Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I called one of my former Bible students in Ethiopia, who is now living in Santiago in California. And as I was talking to her, she said, "Oh, but let me tell you this, Pastor, please. Let me tell you what is happening with me. I'm suffering." I said, "What's wrong with you? I thought you were a Christian." And she said, "Yes, I am. But I have pain." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I have pain in my left shoulder. And this pain is so bad, particularly when it's cold. And I don't even feel like telling anybody because I don't want to say from my mouth I am sick. But I've told my mother. But the pain is there." I said, "Oh, but I don't even know what to do." And I told her, "All right, if the pain is there, let me quote you scriptures." And I quoted almost all the scriptures that have been quoted here, beginning with Matthew 18:19. And I quoted John 15:7. I quoted John 14:13-14. And I told her this thing. And as I was talking, she said, "Oh, Pastor, the time you have been talking, I was beginning to look for the pain because I felt the pain had left. And all the time you were talking, I was looking for it. But now it's not there, it's gone."
Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen.
And this morning, then she said something. She said, "I'm going to call you again after 3 days. When I see the pain has completely gone." I said, "Oh, you've made a big mistake. Why did you say that?" "Because I believe you are going to get it." She said, "No, no, Pastor." I said, "But you said it." I told her, "Don't you ever repeat that."
Amen.
And this morning, I called her very early in the morning. When I called her, she said, "Yes, go ahead, give the testimony. The pain has never come back. I am fine."
Praise the King. Glory to God. Amen.
But of course, instead of praying, I told her, "All right, let us now praise God.
Amen.
And thank Him for what He has done." And I told the devil, "You, Satan, get lost.
In the name of Jesus." Glory to God. Praise the King. Come on, dear friend. Oh, me. Come on, just in a minute. Let's soon spread.
This it happened Friday. And a woman called me on the phone. It's not on?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's, okay. There we go. Woman called me on Friday, and she had started telling me about her children. She has 3 boys, and the 2 youngest have had allergies to all kinds of foods. She started telling me how they're on rotation diet. They had done the elimination diet and how their behavior. And as soon as she went into the behavior problem, I said, "Stop." I said, "You spent a fortune." And I said, "And nothing you're doing is going to do anything." And she called me because she'd heard I have all kinds of things that will help, and it wasn't on the spiritual side. And I said, "And nothing I have to sell is going to do anything about this." I said, "Let me ask a question." And this was just the Lord. Just, I said, "Is your husband a Christian?" And she said, "No." But she was. I mean, you could just tell this woman just bursting over with it. I said, "No, okay. So let's start there." So I just spent a little over an hour on the phone, late for an appointment I had. Nothing new there. And spent an hour on the phone going through everything. This morning I put on the videos back there of the authority of the believer. And that first tape, I'm listening to my conversation on Friday, which is Thurman's teaching, all just coming up, which is what it always happens. That's how important it is. Back there, those videos, those of you here for the first time, those videos, there is no charge. Take them home, listen to them, learn them, write the scriptures, put the scriptures here because that's all that was coming up. Share this with her, got her to where she understood that she could take the authority over over the demons with children. I told her, "Now when you do this and you claim this and then you act on it," I said, "you go ahead and you feed those children those foods they haven't been able to eat for years." I said, "I guarantee you tomorrow morning they'll not have any reactions." I said, "Now I want you to call me with a praise report sometime after that." And she did. Yesterday she called. Oh, was she excited. So not only, she said, "I gave them granola with this. I gave them this. If that wasn't the best," she said, "and I took them out for pizza." No negative reaction. She has the attention of her husband. Plus, she also understands the prayer, etc., on his behalf. But that, when the kids are involved, it's just so satisfying. Hey. Praise report right the next day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a glory to God. What a God we serve.
You know what? God did two wonderful things for me this week. You guys remember Thurman praying that big prayer for my brother a while back? And I told you guys he hasn't walked with the Lord for, gosh, about 20 years. And at one point, this was where he was at. I mean, he asked us to not ever pray over the food. And so that's where he's coming from. My phone rang yesterday afternoon, and my brother talked for an hour about the Lord. He's been listening to all these tapes, you know, about God, and that, like, these people gave him at this truck stop. And he invited me to go to church with him Easter Sunday. So, you know what? I'm just so thrilled that God brought him home. I just praise the Lord for that. I just speak out that my brother one day is going to come and give his testimony here. And also, the day before that, I got a phone call from this lady I hadn't seen in about a year. And 2 years ago, she confided in me that she wanted a baby desperately. And she'd gone to all these fertility doctors and all this stuff, and they finally told her, they said, you know what, it's impossible. We've done everything we can do. You'll never have a baby. It's impossible. I said, no, it's not impossible. I said, the Bible says with God, all things are possible. And I prayed for her a lot for about a year and a half. And she just called me yesterday. She's 14 weeks pregnant.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else before we close today? Anybody else come up here, honey? Praise the Lord. You see what happens when you pray? When you pray in faith? Goodness, isn't it awesome? We serve an awesome God. Step up here on top of this with me and tell us what you got.
Okay. About 3 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And about 3 months ago, I came in here and Gloria prayed in agreement that my mother would be healed of Alzheimer's. And specifically, she said, the dots will all connect. Because that's how we used to say, you know, that's how we used to describe her situation is. We didn't want to confess the disease. We would just say, the dots are not connecting today. So Gloria prayed and said, the dots are going to connect. And for 3 months now, she has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. And this past weekend, she was actually, we moved her to an Alzheimer's unit. This past weekend, my brother and sister-in-law took her to the farm, and she had a big reunion with all my relatives and all her friends, and they are now moving her from the Alzheimer's unit to an assisted living facility because they said she doesn't have this anymore. And she needs stimulation with other kinds of people. So praise him. Nothing is too hard for
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. All you got to do is believe. Only believe. That's another one, right, Gloria? I mean, Gloria, she's got a mark on the wall. One more. I mean, this girl's got a long list over here. Everybody in this place should be like Gloria. You know, we should have a long list. Anybody else before we close with a prayer? One more. Come up here, young lady. Come up here and tell us what you've got. We'll try to get your testimonies. Praise the King. Glory to God. We love to give God the glory for the things He does. Step up here, young lady. Get up here on this where they can see you.
I thank God for... I've been going to Oak Cliff and Spanish Church. Maybe come from the Baptist Church. And, you know, God is directing me to... different belief, and they believe like you all do here, and I praise God, and they heal, you know, God heals people and deliver people, and I'm very happy, and I've been praying about my husband, and he's here with me, and he's happy, and last week, I came here to the, he prayed for me, for my family, and I received the doctor called me and they said they want to see me because they find something in my test. And I said, oh no. You know, I started reading my Bible and I was listening to the tapes. I took some tapes from here. And I said, oh no, this little demon will go away. I'm not sick. And I said, I remember, you know, before a long time ago, I used to drink. And one time I asked Jesus, Jesus, I don't want to drink anymore. And he told me in my mind, okay, throw him in the garbage. So I throw the bottle and I said, oh, in the name of Jesus, this will go away. And then I remember that when the doctor told me that they have a bad report, I said, oh no, this little devil will go away in the name of Jesus. And I had two or three medicines. I said, no, in the name of Jesus, God is going to do this. And I put all the pills, I put it in the garbage, and I throw them away. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed, you know. I said, Jesus, thank you for healing me. I believe in your word, and I believe. And I was reading the Bible, and I said, he is my medicine.
Amen.
And I thank God, and I feel very, very good. Sometimes when I used to take my medication, I used to feel, you know, like shake. My hands were doing like this. But now I feel very, very good, and I thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's if we don't have another one, we got another one? Praise the Lord.
When you ask for one more, you got to. I feel like I should share this with you. I had Thurman pray for me a few weeks ago. I have been diagnosed with MS, and so I came up to be prayed for the multiple sclerosis. And as you can see, I'm still in this wheelchair, but I am healed.
Amen. Your confession is right, and you're going to walk.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in addition to that, I did not ask for my hypertension, or which the medical community calls high blood pressure, to be healed of that. And God healed me of that.
Isn't he awesome?
He is awesome. And I went to the doctor yesterday because blood pressure medicine was making me sick, nauseous. And he took my blood pressure, and it was 110 over 70, which is perfect.
Perfect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think about just a few months ago, that sitting right here where she's at, some of you might have been here that Sunday when Richard Queen was here in his wheelchair. And he was sitting here, and he had all these big tumors and cancers and everything on his neck. And the doctor sent him home to die. He was a Baptist from Sherman, I believe, Sherman, Texas. And some friend of his that knew me told him, and he came here. And that day after I preached, I walked right up to him right there, and I rebuked his cancer, cursed it, commanded it to die, and told him to get out of the wheelchair and walk off. And Richard stood up. He was not expected. He knew he couldn't walk. He knew he couldn't stand up. He had no mobility in his leg, but he stood up. But he couldn't take, but tried one step, and then he fell. We put him back in his wheelchair. And, of course, the man is standing now. He's walking with a walker. His cancer is completely gone, and the Lord is restoring his body. And he said, not going to be long. I'm going to be walking without this walker. So he is doing good. I got an email from him just this last week. So it's amazing. You never give up. You got to realize that the answer is always yes and amen. So you stand on God's word, and as he starts the process, don't let the enemy steal it from you. Continue to stand on it and see the glory of God. All right, let's sing a song and praise the Lord. Then we'll pray for anybody who wants to be
praised.
Here
we go. Can we stand up, please? Whoop.
Give God the glory.
What's
that? Oh, communion. I forgot it. Hold it, folks. Hold it. I forgot communion. Sit down. Sit down. I messed up. I got to get back there, Wendell. I messed up totally, completely. We're not going to forget communion. I mean, the blood. While we're getting communion, I want you to know. I want you to realize this. You know how offensive it is? You know how offensive it is if you walk up to somebody that's been drinking some powerful scotch or some powerful whiskey and they breathe right in your face? You know how offensive that is? I want you to realize when you put the blood of Jesus in your mouth, I want you to breathe into the nostrils of the devil. And I want it to be offensive to him as you breathe the word of God. Let me have one of those right here while you're here. Yes, I want you to realize that when we take the blood of our Savior, when we take that blood, we need to breathe it on the devil. In fact, those of you that do not take communion every day, you should start taking communion at home every day. And those of you that took it somewhere else this morning, if you took it this morning and you took it at noon, take it again. In fact, I'm going to tell you, if you're sick and afflicted and you're weak, if you're weak and sick and afflicted, take communion 4 or 6 times a day until your strength comes back. Be strong in the Lord. Every time you take it, take the Lord's body. His body is your strength. His blood. I mean, it's amazing the power in communion. When you take it in faith, the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all unrighteousness. The body of the Savior was the second part of the curse. When the devil walked into the garden, he came in with a twofold curse, sin and sickness. Jesus came with a twofold remedy, His blood for your sins and His body for your sickness and disease. He paid the total price. So when you get a hold of the fact that what Jesus did for you on that cross, He not only did everything for you, He destroyed the works of the devil for you, and then He gave you the power to overcome the forces of darkness, but to walk in divine health. And I'm going to tell you with what I've learned from the Word of God and how I was deceived by the enemy all those years, I've now learned that no Christian has to be sick. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be afflicted. You can be strong. You can be 60, 70, 80, 90 years old and still be young and serving the King. I mean, I know men that are of age I am now. I know men when they're 35 years old, they couldn't keep up with me. I know men that are 25 years old, they can't keep up with me. But the reason they can't is because I know Jesus. I mean, just like the other day, I was in a place of business and a man there, and I said something to that young man, and he was talking about how tired he was and everything else. And I said, son, how old are you? He said, well, I'm 30. I said, gee whiz, I feel sorry for you being so old. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, gee, you ought to be young like me. He said, look, you got to be older than me. I said, yeah, I'm a little older than you in years, but I said, in everything else, I'm younger than you are. He said, what do you mean? I said, because I found the fountain of youth. He said, wait a minute, there ain't no such thing. I said, oh, yes, there is. And it's in Psalms 103. Jesus renews my youth daily like the eagles. Now, if you claim that promise, Jesus is my strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When you start confessing those things and standing on the Word of God, what is the King going to do? He's going to honor His Word. And He's going to keep you healthy. He's going to keep you in good health. You're going to be strong. And you're going to be able to go. We'd like just a few back there. We're just about almost there. But you need to realize what this is. I try to take communion at least one time every day. I took it this morning already. But I'm taking it again now. I've had days in my life and I just feel like I just need a little more power from God, and I get up early in the morning and I take it about 10 o'clock in the morning and I take it again. You've heard that advertisement, the Dr. Pepper 10, 2, and 4? Well, let me tell you, at 6 and 10, at noon and 2 and 4, the communion will just do more wonders for you by far than that Dr. Pepper will. Let me tell you, this is the power. Are we ready? Father, we're so grateful for this piece of bread that represents your body. It was sinless, as pure and clean, that by your body, how you were beaten and bruised, and you've done that for us so that we don't have to be sick and afflicted. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the power that's in this piece of bread. It represents your body. And as we take it, you said those that will not eat your body and drink your blood has nothing in you. But Lord, we eat your body and drink your blood, and we thank you for the body. And we thank you for what it done for us so we don't never have to be sick again in Jesus' name. Thank you for the bread and the blood that was poured out on Calvary to pay the price for our sins so we should die to sin and live unto righteousness. Not only should no Christian ever be sick, but no Christian should ever sin. If we died to sin, how can a dead person therein sin again? That's what Paul's question was. Well, as long as you stay dead, you will not. And if you do stay dead and you walk holy before God, just like that psalm we said a while ago and 1 John, you cannot be touched by the devil. You can walk in abundance of life. So thank you, Father, for what you sent your Son to do, and he did it. We praise you and worship you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.